AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news this Sunday morning as Manchester United are back in the big time. For how long, we don't know, but let's enjoy it. You know, I remember this is what it used to be like, but lots to get into. I think what the Brighton manager said after the game is really interesting. Obviously, Amrim had a lot to say as well. The two reasons United are doing really, really well as well. And I also want to discount this nonsense that it's because Sir Jim Radcliffe said that Ruben Amrim's getting fired 3 years that United have suddenly started playing well. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why Cody Gakpo hit the post twice last week. He was thinking, shit, I better not score. Sir Jim said Amrim's here for 3 years. There's two big reasons, and I think Amrim's right on both of them, and that is why he's silencing his critics. I thought what Hertzler said was very, very, very interesting. And the big question is, when you look at that league table this morning and the smile on your face makes your face hurt because you're not used to that around Man United, it's on. Top four is on. Liverpool losing last night to Brentford. The league is really competitive. If we can be really competitive, we've got a great chance. And the question is, are we playing well enough to do it? How have we got to here? I want to hear from you lot as well. But just as a message at the very start, I want to send this message out. How do we get back the Amrim outers in? How do we get them back? Because I think if there's one thing that's going to really damage us over the next few weeks, it's going to be them not changing their mind. And every time there's a poor performance or a bad result, they'll start Amrim out again. There has to be an acceptance that Amrim will be here for the season at least. I think these last three wins in a row will dictate that. He will be here for the season. I think Ineos will be stubborn. The Glazers will be stubborn. So if you're Amrim out and you're going to scream and shout Amrim out after every loss, it's just a negativity that we probably don't need. It needs to be parked for the season. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep to your opinions, but how do we get you back? Because what we don't want is, and I see it with Arsenal a lot, they printed the T-shirts, and even though they're probably going to win the league this year, there are still Arsenal fans who won't change their mind about Arteta 3-4 years on because they said Arteta out. And they just can't do it. Their pride won't let them do it. Now, obviously, I'm not a big fan of flip-flops or Amrim in, Amrim out. You know, the modern society of changing your opinion like you change your pants. But what is it that we can do to get these Amrim outers back and welcome them back? Instead of going, you were Amrim out, you were Amrim out, you were Amrim out, you flip-flops. I think waking up this morning and last night, this is what it used to be like at Manchester United. Some of you might not remember. Some of you might not be old enough. This is what it used to be like. You used to wake up on a Sunday morning. United had won the game. You'd look at the league table and you'd go excited for the week. You'd be watching the goals back, excited at the way you'd played. It's giving me goosebumps, but this is what it used to be like. And it's been a long, long time. But let me send a message to you. Those of you who remember what it's like to be like this, we want more. So, you know, maybe Amrim outers are going, yeah, we've got standards and look at you. No. I will celebrate the wins. I am very happy with the performance, but it ain't enough. We're Manchester United. I'm excited because I want to go up. I want this to be the start of the climb. You know, that's what I want it to be. So the journey of being Amrim in and back in the team isn't one of acceptance and lowering of standards. You can be Amrim in and say, right, here we are. How do we stay? I mean, I said it yesterday. How have we got here? How do we stay here? I still think it's a good point to say, are we in the top four too soon? You know, if he goes back down to mid-table again, it's worse, I think, than being ninth, ninth, eighth, ninth, tenth, than being fourth, sixth, ninth, twelfth. I think if he drops again, you know, the pressure will be on again. So how did we get here? How do we stay here? But how do we get these people back? Because I've seen the videos. I've seen the tweets. There are people that are absolutely caught in 4K. And they can start going, oh, ha, 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 it was banter, you know. Or, oh, you know, you were wrong. You were wrong. You were wrong. And people are wrong in life. I've been wrong. Many of you have been wrong. How do we get you back? How do you stick with this? Because we have to stick with this for this season. I'm sure there's going to be ups and downs, but let's stick it out for the season. I do not want an interim manager like Oli or Rangnick. I do not want another manager coming in before Christmas. I want to ride this out, give him the chance. And I think the thing with Amorim is, even if he lost his next three games, which he won't, I'd still be thinking, well, he won those three games. We've got to just see what happens with Amorim. We've got to see, because there's been horrific results. Results that would have him knocking on the door of the sack. And now, and there's been results like we've had recently where you sort of go, this could be the start of something. So I think we've just got to get through the season and see what happens with it, because I'm tired of the negativity around it. And look, I'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to talk about Amorim and what he said after the game. Why are we a little bit early? Oh, we're all over the place this morning. So it's 8 o'clock in the UK, but it's would have been 9 o'clock yesterday because the clocks have gone back an hour. But Seb's got a football match at, I think it's 11, but might be 10 here. Anyway, that's why I'm a little bit early with the show today. But I'm doing watch-alongs at 2 o'clock. Hopefully Villa beat City, and our 8 o'clock is 7 o'clock tonight, which is would have been 8 o'clock. Anyway, 7 o'clock UK time is all that matters for that today. Anyway, let me just delve into this. This is the thing I wanted to say as well. I really do think that what I said there is true. We don't want to be like Arsenal. I speak to Robbie a lot about this. There's just fans in their fan base that just won't come back. And we will have people in our fan base that, you know, are putting on fake smiles, who are really waiting to say, I told you so about Amorim. And at some point they will be right, because there will be games we lose. No team's going to win every single game. We're not ready for that. We will lose again. And when we do lose again, all the media and everyone else will be back on his back. But I just think, I'm not saying here that Amorim's the guy. I literally said a few weeks ago, he's sacking himself. You know, I never said Amorim out, but I did say some of his decisions are getting on my nerves, and he's going to sack himself if he continues down this road. And credit to him, you know, he's turned it around to a certain extent. But I think it's just so important that we don't go down the road of sacking another manager too quickly. He's not even been here a year yet. You know, I know the win ratio is crap, but he's not been here a year yet. And there will be more bad results. But I did say this at the start of the season, and even though I wobbled a little bit myself and I was getting very annoyed with some of the results, I did say after 10 games is when the season will start for Manchester United. We're on game week 9. I did say after 10 games, if we're in touching distance of top 5, it's game on. Now, we probably won't be fourth tonight. You know, we're only fourth because we're halfway through game week 9. I mean, if results go differently today, we could be probably in sixth. So I agree with Polo United. The season sort of starts today. And WrestleGold TV says, why are you talking about the sack? We're not talking about the sack. Go back to bed, mate. You know, go back to bed. Have a cup of coffee. Wake up. You know, you clearly haven't got your head in the game at all. Just over a week ago, people were sacking the manager. Now he's the best thing since sliced bread. Don't be a fucking flip-flop and listen to what we're talking about. We're talking about the bigger picture. We're talking about a very big Amorim out movement and how we get them back behind the manager. If it's too early for you, go back to bed, right? What I'm talking about is after game week 10, we're going to be in touching distance of fifth place, even if we lose to Forest next week. And that's, to me, where the season starts. 10 games in, new season, new players have started to settle. We're only playing one game a week. Everyone else is playing in Europe. Fatigue starts to hit while we're tired. Now, Ruben Amorim, after the game yesterday, I want to talk about why we're back. Because there's a tactical reason and there's also a logical reason. Now, Amorim said two things after the game today. He said, it's basically down to time and hard work. If your players work hard every single minute, you get results like that. And the extra time on the pitch by not playing midweek is starting to benefit as well. So it's more time on the training ground working with scenarios and players working hard in the game. And he's probably right on those two things, because I look at the Brighton game yesterday, and it's not like the Liverpool game. I think you could look at the Liverpool game and go, we could have lost that, we could have drawn that, we won it. Great game. I look at the Brighton game and I go, well, we should have had a penalty, we could have scored 6 or 7. I thought Brighton had chances. On another day, that might have been a draw, but I think we'd have been sat there going, we should have won it. And we did win it, and we got what we deserved. So I think Amorim is right. I think this whole having a week on the training ground is supercharging his ability to get the message through to the players. And the hard work in the team for 90 minutes is something we haven't seen before. And I said it in the match reaction yesterday, and I still really haven't seen enough positivity around this. These players deserve every bit of criticism they've had over the years. There is no guilt attached to that. Some of the results, some of the performances are abysmal. I think about the Europa League final. I mean, it's still shocking. But a lot of people were expecting us not to turn up yesterday because we beat Liverpool. And quite rightly, that's been the consistent theme. But we did turn up. And that's a change. And that's a change brought about by, obviously, the players turning up, but also the message finally getting through. And when you go back to Amorim after the Grimsby game, where he's basically inexplicably cannot understand why his players aren't turning up. And we must remember the bad times to appreciate the good times. This manager is not bloody Gandalf. He's not got a magic wand. He's not all-knowing and all-telling. This is a manager who, after the Grimsby game, was on his arse, confused, a rabbit in the headlights, can't figure out why players can switch on and off. And here he is after the Brighton game, finally starting to get those players coming through. So I think he's right. I think having an extra, you know, all the days in the week, we've got a whole week to prepare for Forest now, whole week to prepare for Spurs when Spurs will be playing in the Champions League midweek. These are big factors now that we probably weren't thinking about a couple of weeks ago because we were thinking about can Amorim survive? Will he survive? Who's the next manager? I think I'm now looking at it and going, okay, your man might get his hair cut, but what I'm actually thinking is, what have Forest got to play in the week? Are they still in the Carabao Cup? I don't know. What if Spurs have definitely got a Champions League game? That's the big thing. We should be fully fit, raring to go, hungry. And, you know, hunger in these players should come as a standard as a Man United player anyway, but they should be hungry by a Friday anyway because they're not playing games. There should be a frustration. These players want to play in Europe. These players want to play in the Cups, and they're not. And that should be an aggression and an energy that is bubbling up inside them, ready to go once a week, every week. And I think between now and Christmas, the reason I've got that up there is because at Christmas, I want to see us there. And then the question is, how do we stay there? And we have to keep this fire burning. I've seen a few people go, I mean, look, there are still people in our fan base that, you know, go from negativity of Amorim out to toxic positivity of I've got my lips sucked onto Ineos's arse. There are some out there. I find it laughable, that we've beaten Liverpool and we've beaten Brighton because Sir Jim Ratcliffe said that Amorim's going to get 3 years. I think that's a laughable statement. I said it at the time. I know Roy Keane said it. I know many of you have said it. Sir Jim Ratcliffe is talking out his arse. No owner can give somebody 3 years. They don't have the power. If Amorim had lost, you know, if Amorim goes and loses his next 7 games, he'll get sacked. Doesn't matter what Sir Jim Ratcliffe says. I think it's disrespectful to say that the reason United have started winning is because a guy who's got nothing to do with football is saying that Amorim's going to stay here for 3 years. As I said, did that make Cody Gakpo miss sitters and hit the post? It's got nothing to do with that. We, you know, football is about 90 minutes. It's about the players on the pitch and the manager's decisions. It's not about an owner going, he's got 3 years, lads, remember, you better play. I know why Man United are playing well. It's very, very obvious. I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody here, but the impact of Cunha and Mbeumo, and I like De Ligt, and Lemens is doing a good job, and Yoro, and there are lots of good players, and Casemiro was good yesterday, and Bruno was good yesterday, and Luke Shaw was good yesterday, and all these players that maybe we've been critical of. But Cunha and Mbeumo, not in a Man United shirt for the last 2 weeks, we don't win them games. That's the big difference. That is the big difference. It really is. And you know, maybe Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying that Amorim's not going to get the sack is a little bit of a message to the players, but that's not going to be the reason. The reason we are where we are is because the players are responding to the manager and working hard, and maybe because we've got more time on the training ground, I don't know. You also need a little bit of luck. You know, we're a bit lucky against Liverpool. I'll take that on board. We've also changed our style of play. You know, Sir Jim giving Amorim 3 years. Did Sir Jim tell Amorim to, you know, give up possession and go more direct? I doubt it. That's a big thing. I want to talk about that in a moment. But do not underestimate the signings of Cunha and Mbeumo. We spoke about this in the summer. When you look at the blueprint of those two signings and you look at, I mean, I remember talking about Cunha on this channel a year ago. We were never linked to him. We were just talking one Wednesday night about players And I just said, Cunha at Man United, I'd love him. And he hadn't even had the season he was having. And we were sort of like going, I just like Cunha. He's aggressive. He never gives up. You know, he makes things happen. That's the type of player we want at Man United. And now we have him. And Mbeumo had that similar sort of season at Brentford. But when you look at the signings of those two players, I'm surprised other clubs, I mean, maybe Arsenal don't need them, to be fair, but you look at Liverpool, you look at Chelsea, I'm surprised we got a run at those players so easy. And look, I don't think Liverpool or Chelsea approached them, but maybe they would have chosen us anyway. Cunha said after the game, I'm a Man United fan, so maybe that's just what he wants. Angry Beaver says, Mark sits on the fence so he can claim to be right all the time. I don't want to have that sort of show, mate. I know it's Sunday and your life's shit, but I don't want to have that sort of conversation. You know, if you want to say you're hammering him out still, say you're hammering him out still and tell us why. And I'll respect it and I'll read it out. But nobody's sitting on the fence. Never being hammering him out is not sitting on the fence. Saying after 10 games is when a season will start is not sitting on the fence. Saying that Cunha and Mbeumo are our big change is not sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence is this. Oh, I don't really know what I think about this. I don't really know what I think about that. I sort of think that and I sort of think this and I don't really know. That's not sitting on the fence. So grow up, get a cup of coffee or go back to bed. We're trying to talk constructively about our team. I don't think fourth is good enough, by the way. You want a bit of negativity this morning. I don't think fourth is good enough for Man United. I don't think giving 60% to the opposition in possession every week is Man United either. But it's effective and it's working, and we're going through a really weird phase in the Premier League at the moment where Stoke City-type tactics are really effective. And it's working for Arsenal, and it's working for a lot of teams. And, you know, I do think we've got to adapt the way that we play. But going back to what I was saying there, I think if you took Cunha and Mbeumo out of this team, you'd still have good performances from De Ligt and Lemens, but we wouldn't be where we are in the league. You know, you talk about the Cantona effect, which is ridiculous. I presume these people are up their mum's chuff. Comparing Cunha to Cantona is just disrespect. Cunha and Mbeumo wouldn't even get in a 99 side. They just wouldn't get in it. Those players are a different level to where we are now. But in a very watered down BTEC version, these signings can be Cantona type signings. Type signings in the sense that they can help this team go to the next level. Cantona helped Manchester United rebirth. You know, that's a little bit different. And maybe, hopefully, in the future, we will win titles with them and we can say that. But what we're doing here is we're taking a team from 15th that was utter shit into the top four. And the reason for that is Cunha and Mbeumo. And the reason for that is because, as they showed last season, they get goals in a Brentford shirt, in a Wolves shirt, consistently against everybody, whether it's Man City, Liverpool, or bloody Ipswich, they score goals. And in a Man United shirt in the last 2 weeks, they're doing that. You take Mbeumo's goals away and Cunha's goals away over the last 2 weeks, we win neither game. Do those goals get scored by Garnacho or whoever else? No. It's a really simple equation. These two players are the difference. Goals make change. And yeah, I still think the midfield's a problem, but at the moment, that decision to go with Cunha and Mbeumo and Sesko as your big signings, you've got to say is right. At the moment, Amrim's decision to get rid of Garnacho is right. At the moment, Amrim's decision to go with Bruno and Casemiro in the midfield is right. At the moment, Amrim is the manager who is paid to manage our football club, and we should say he is right. He's silencing the doubters. I am a doubter. I'm not an outer, but I am a doubter. And I'm never going to not do that. Like, after the game yesterday, Bruno, high score. Casemiro, high score. Luke Shaw, high score. I don't really think these players are good enough for our future, but when something's right, I'll say it. And Amrim is right at the moment. And, you know, it's great to see the positivity around the fan base. And I'm not saying that Cunha and Mbeumo are the only good players at our team, but they are the future. They're the two players that are most responsible for taking us from 15th to where we are today. And they're the players that, I don't know what the limit is with them. They might take us higher. They might do. We've got two of them. They were doing it on their own last season. They're doing it together now, and they work really well together as well. Also, I think that I just want to mention Belaba very, very quickly. I'm going to sit on the fence on this one. I'm not sure on Belaba. I think sometimes you can say you're unsure. And I'm not sure on Belaiba. I said on the preview on Thursday that if I was Hertzler, and I want to read what he said, I wouldn't have picked Belaiba for this game. I've watched Brighton a bit this season. He's not been very good because he didn't get the transfer to us. That worries me about the personality of a player. He is young, but comes to Old Trafford yesterday and he did exactly what I thought he would do. He didn't come like Jordan Henderson did against Liverpool last night and use it as a motivator, even though he loves Liverpool, to play well. He came to Old Trafford and was a little bit like, oh, I don't know what to do. I watched Belaiba yesterday and I was like, he did exactly what I thought he would do. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to play really, really well and potentially, you know, damage Man United, or play really, really shit and potentially help Man United, but then be like, if they want to sign me, I've got to play well. His head was in the clouds. He was rubbish. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't sign him. I'm just answering the question in the chat. Would you sign Belaiba? And actually, let's do a little bit of a poll on it. But look, the reason I mention it is that from what I've seen of him last season, I thought he was a really good player. From what I've seen of him this season, I'm not convinced, as I'm sure many of you are. But the reason I'm saying it is, if I'm not convinced, I'm not signing him. Because what Manchester United, if they want to stay where they are there, the reason we are here in the league is because we've got players like Cunha and Mbeumo who have that. You know, Rashford used to do that. We've got Cunha and Mbeumo. They do that. Both of them. Mentality kings. Hard workers. No matter what the circumstances, they don't give in. You think about Mbeumo in the Manchester derby and that amazing save from Donnarumma. That game's gone and he's still going. So I think that when we're buying players now, you've got to look at the mentality of Wharton, Anderson, Belaiba, Stiller, and whoever else you're looking at, Conor Gallagher, Manu Kone, whoever, and you've got to go, well, three of them don't have the right mentality. Because is Mbeumo and Cunha the best attacking wingers, whatever you want to call them, in the Premier League? Probably not. You might be able to name others. But when you add into the fact their experience and mentality, that's the blueprint of every Man United signing now. Whether it's a right back, a midfielder, a centre back, a striker, I don't want to buy any more Jadon Sanchos. Brilliant players with questionable attitudes. I don't want to buy players that are light switch players. I don't want to buy players that can be impacted by external things. We need strong mentality players. And that's what United's, you know, you look at the league table this morning, that would be a poor position for Man United when I, you know, back in the 90s, we would be first or second because we got mentality kings. And I think in Mbeumo and Cunha, we've got that. They're mentality kings. They have to be the blueprint now. They have to be. We can't take any more, oh, he's a good player. We really like him. But look, you know, he had a bit of a wobble there. Fuck that. Don't do it. Do not do it. Absolutely not. Let me just talk to you about what Hertzler said then. This was quite interesting. I think I had it there, to be honest. So quite a long statement, but this, I suppose, goes hand in hand with what we were talking about yesterday morning. Manchester United are officially a long ball side. I'm happy to have this conversation for a couple of minutes, but I don't massively care. Because I think, on the one hand, you've got this huge movement of media and United fans going, Amrim's going to get sacked. I want him out. He's out of his depth. Sack him. And then you've got these United fans who are like, I don't want to sack another manager. He's just got to get results and survive, of which I would put myself there. And then he gets results and he survives to stop the Amrim out movement. And then we go, yeah, but I don't like the way we're playing. I think it's too soon for that. I can acknowledge it. I can acknowledge that we're playing very direct. We had less than, I think we were like 40% possession yesterday or something like that at home to Brighton. But the game was brilliant. Like, I enjoyed the Brentford-Liverpool game last night. I thought it was very open and Brentford play very direct. And I really enjoyed the Man United-Brighton game. So I think, well, was it an entertaining game of football? Yes. Did we play direct? I'd have to watch it. I haven't watched it again yet, to be honest. I just enjoyed the evening. But we won the game and it was very entertaining and we scored four goals and we could have scored six and they could have scored four. You know, it was a good game of football. It wasn't boring. So stylistically, I'm sort of not there with it at the moment because I think the results are more important. But this is what Brighton's manager said. He says, United play a lot of long balls in their last few matches. and have been quite effective in that area. They're really determined to win the second balls. It's a strategy that is very effective. It all starts with the pressing and the way you attack their goalkeeper. Then you have to make sure you're ready for the long ball. So what you're saying is that teams over the last few years in the Premier League press high up because a lot of teams play out from the back. Man United will play out from the back, but if you get pressed, we go long. So we've been going long. And Hertzler says, when they play that long ball, two things are very important. Trying to recover the second ball, and if you don't recover it, being well positioned for the third ball, especially with Sesko to defend against and the runs in behind from Cunha and Mbeumo. They're very good at this. So it's a task for the whole team and not just the defenders. The key is to stay compact, ensure the spaces are tight and filled, and bring intensity to the second balls. He actually said that before the game, not after the game. So did Brighton deal with what? And the reason people say, well, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? But it's really bloody important because he said that before the game and they still couldn't deal with it. And I think that's really, really important because we have a style of football at the moment that people know what we're going to do and they can't deal with it. They know they're going to have more of the ball. They know we're going to go direct, but they still concede four goals. The second ball is the key. We don't even care about winning the first ball. We boot it long. And traditionally, a Brighton defender or a Liverpool defender wins the header. You can't just let it go past you because that long ball then is a sprint. And you might lose that sprint to a Sesko or an Mbeumo. So you've got to win the header. The header's going to get won. And United are waiting for that second ball to have the second phase attack higher up the pitch. So again, there is a compilation. I'll probably try and find it later today. Of something that about 2 years ago you would find really weird. And it was goal kicks and kicks out of the hand from goalkeepers. And every single goal kick would be booted to the halfway line. Every single goal kick. There was nobody would pass it to the fullback. Not, that wouldn't happen. And as the goalkeeper was running up, it'd be, oh, ah, you're shit. And that's what the crowd used to sing. Every goal kick was booted by the goalkeeper. And we're sort of going back to it a little bit in the sense that the reason that used to happen in the 80s and early 90s was that it was all about not possession. It was all about territory. It was all about getting up to the opposition's goal as quickly as possible. And United are sort of doing that at the moment because a lot of teams have spent years just building up possession, keeping possession, being comfortable on the ball. And we're seeing an evolution of football this season in the Premier League with the long ball and the long throw-ins where it's gone a little bit like headings becoming a very big attribute again. Tackling is becoming a very big attribute again. And we're very good at it because what happens is the first ball goes up, the centre-back wins it, and then United win it there. And you win it in a position where their midfield loses it and you're in on their back four for the third pass. And I think Hertzler highlights what United are all about very, very effectively. I think the next game for me I'm really looking forward to is the Forest game because it's Deitch and it will probably be a low block. Liverpool were never going to play a low block. Brighton always play out from the back. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we do in the next two games against what would effectively be two counter-attacking teams in Spurs and Forest. But I tell you what, I think that lad might be getting his hair cut. I do, because I think that we're finding a way of winning games and that breeds confidence, I really do. Do you think we'll get top four? Well, 58% of you wouldn't sign Belabor. So your next task, if you accept it, is smash a like on the video this morning. I'm loving the positivity. Will United get top four? Yes or no? I want to answer that one in a moment. But I want to just quickly run through some of Amarim's other comments after the game yesterday, because there was quite a few as well. And I've got some comments from you. So Amarim said, look, we're not going to be Man United without suffering a little bit. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't fight in this league, you've got no chance. I feel good. 3 points at home. We played well and suffered at the end. It's a bit our fault. They gave everything. They ran. They played with the ball. They shot when they needed to. It was a good match. After the goal, the noise in the stadium was incredible. It was as if the time had stopped. It was the first time I felt that. I experienced such an atmosphere. It was a very powerful moment for me. I think it's a turning point. I think the Liverpool game was great, but I think to do that at Old Trafford, I said after the Liverpool game, he'll be here till Christmas. I genuinely think he's got the season now. And people will say, well, you can't beat Brighton at home, he'll get the season. I just think that our home support, our away support are the lifeblood of the club. And I thought that the flags in the Stretford End yesterday were, I was just so in awe of it. You know, I've been watching a lot of the Bundesliga recently on That's Football. I love the crowds there, the flags, the atmosphere. I think it's very hard to replicate that in England. But seeing the flags in the Stretford End, it's unique. You know, it's unique to a Premier League ground. I loved that. And it just, the whole performance yesterday, the whole atmosphere, the results, were just great. It echoed back to better times at Man United. And it might be a glimpse that we never see again, or it could be the start. It could be a spark, and I hope it is. But I think Amrin will get the season now, which is really, really important. He said, I really appreciated the way the three forwards defended. Cunha did an excellent job. It was completely different from the first matches. And Mbeumo is a machine. Sesko was there for every ball. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't fight, it's nothing. Was it our best match of the season? No, that was Arsenal. They're more confident. And when you have more confidence, luck is sometimes on your side in certain moments. That's what I feel now. I feel that we have a bit more luck because we're in a different state of mind. Interesting. I always like Amrin, what he says after the game. You know, he doesn't run away with it. And I think, look, honestly, on the performance yesterday, I haven't even had time to think about it. Robert McCormack was in the chat yesterday saying we didn't actually play that well. They had more shots than us. They had more possession than us. We definitely deserve to win it. They were better in the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We should have had a penalty. I mean, I don't want to talk about that this morning, but can I just say the Premier League is an absolute disgrace for officiating. I mean, some of the decisions I saw yesterday for both teams in the United game were horrific. But to say he got the ball, that, you know what? If that had been the last minute of the Champions League final to make it 1-1 and we didn't get that penalty, I think there'd be riots. It's only because we won that game that people aren't angry. That is one of the worst pieces of officiating I've ever seen. Michael Oliver needs sacking. Like, I tell you what he definitely needs. If I was Howard Webb, I'd pick Michael Oliver up tomorrow morning. I'd take him to Specsavers and I'd get his eyes tested. I'd be like, you were looking at somebody go down with a head injury last week and you played on. And now you've got a slow-mo camera of that penalty and you haven't given it. You're either corrupt or your eyes aren't working, mate. Because it's ridiculous. That is not a tackle. He's not even looking. He throws his back heel out, maybe makes a slight contact on the ball, but basically trips Ahmad up. And Howard Webb himself said last year that getting a slight contact on the ball is not a tackle. That wasn't a tackle. It was 100% a penalty. But as I say, maybe we did get a little bit of luck at times, but I don't think luck was anything to do with why we won yesterday. But I think it's just Amrin not running away with it, you know, which is good. I like Amrin because every time he says, we go back to work tomorrow. The more difficult the match, the more confident Cunha is. I like the way of defending. When he has the ball, I have no concerns. He also spoke about Casemiro, says he brings a lot of experience. He's an example to everyone. At the beginning, he was behind all the midfielders, even Collier. He fought, he worked, and he is back in the national team. He's very important to us, and he worked very hard today. Look, I ain't going to say anything about the midfield. They played well yesterday, so you sort of have to take your medicine. Do I like that midfield? No. Do I think I'll get proven right about that midfield? I hope not, but I think I will. I still don't think it's good enough, but yesterday it did work. But let's not forget, Brighton's midfield was shit. Inexperienced, out of their depth, and yeah, got overwhelmed by, you know, Cunha, Mbeumo, Bruno, Casemiro. Experience, it was men against boys in that midfield, so he's right. He also spoke about Mbeumo. He's a machine. He's so good in transition. He's improving in the final third. The connection with Ahmad, it's hard to beat them because they switch positions and are very quick. very, very good. And he said, since the start of the season, the team has been playing much better than last year, which isn't difficult. We've been different. We have different players who are better suited to this type of football. It's a big difference to have a full... I mean, you know what he means there, by the way? We've got different players who are better suited to this type of football. Basically, Garnacho, Rashford, Antony, they ain't running around like Mbeumo and Cunha. They're just not going to do that defensive work. They're just not. And that's what he means. He's not saying Rashford and Garnacho and Antony are bad players. He's just saying they're different players. And these Cunhas and Mbeumos are better suited to that number 10 role than they ever would have been. I mean, Garnacho's getting hooked after scoring a goal for Chelsea after 58 minutes. Cunha and Mbeumo are running around like, you know, machines. And that's what he means when he says that. That's exactly what he's talking about. He says it's also a big difference to have a full week of training because it's very tough for every team playing in Europe. We felt it last season. It's a huge advantage to have just one match per week and we need to make the most of it. I think exactly. We mentioned this at the start of the season. The opportunity to scrutinise and analyse every game for us as fans in the week. Imagine what it is for Amrin having a whole week to train, no travel. It's huge. And if you think about the game against Brighton, if we'd been in the Europa League on Thursday night, we might have been playing in, I don't know, Switzerland or whatever. You don't get back until Friday. It's a day off, a little training session on a Saturday and into a game on a Sunday. We've had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday preparing for Brighton instead of a session on a Saturday. It's a huge advantage. Liverpool nearly won the league under Brendan Rodgers playing one game a week. You have to take advantage of this. Financially, it's not great. But on the pitch, it should be massive. Covered that one there. Lovely. I just want to catch up on your comments now. So let me have a look at what you've got to say. Some managers lose jobs because of bad officiating. So Stefan Ray says, we've not been winning the second ball at all. And teams used to win the second ball as it offers. I can see a change. Thank you, Ray. Hope you're doing very well this morning. Thank God we didn't splash 80 million on Belabor, says Light Schofield. I wouldn't give up on Belabor. Like, I really wouldn't give up on Belabor. I'm not saying that he's not going to be a decent signing for Manchester United in the future. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that there is a bit of a red flag there. If we'd bought him in the summer, then potentially he would have been, in the right mindset and a brilliant, brilliant signing for us. There's nothing to say that wouldn't be the case. But I also think that there is a bit of a red flag there and there are other options out there. And also, are Brighton going to get realistic on price? If you've seen Belabor this season, you wouldn't understand the price tag. If you'd seen him last season, you'd understand the potential. Man United might stubbornly just stick for the player. And look, Ruben Amorim might be able to get hold of him and turn him into, you know, one of the best midfielders in the world and change that mentality. But I'm just saying I'd be a little bit wary of it. His passing was crap. I agree with breaking edits. His shooting was crap. His tackling was crap. I mean, he was losing 50-50s to Bruno. And in all due respect, I know Bruno can put a tackle in, but Bruno's not Casemiro. You know, he's not Declan Rice. They both got dominated. Ayahi and Belabor. It was men against boys, like I said. Thank God. Anyway, that was from Like Scapefield. What did Neville say yesterday to upset United fans? Says Rajath. I don't know. I don't listen to the commentary. I heard he said Sesko struggled a bit to link up with Cunha and Mbeumo. I think Cunha and Mbeumo were so good. Sesko should have got a goal yesterday. But I don't think Sesko was bad. I understand some people in the chat were saying that Sesko was bad. I don't think he was bad. I think he's a young player that's going to have good and bad games. But I don't think he was bad. I think he had a part to play in two goals, and he probably should have got a goal. But the thing you have to understand about Sesko is he never stops working. A bit like Rasmus. Rasmus never stopped working, and I think having a player like that really does help if you've got players like Cunha and Mbeumo. I think Rasmus, I know he's gone, but my example still stands. I think if we had Rasmus up front with Cunha and Mbeumo, it would have been a different brief. It would have been. And the reason I say that is because Sesko's young, he's still learning, and his work rate is impeccable. So whilst, even if you think he had a bad game yesterday, and I don't, he's not like having a bad game because he's not putting a shift in. he's 100% putting the shift in. And, you know, he's up against Dunk and Van Heck. They're both very good in the air. They're both physically, you know, empowering centre-backs. So I think Sesko's work helped Cunha and Mbeumo. I didn't have a problem with him yesterday. And look, when you saw Xerxes come on and Mainoo come on and Dorgu come on, you really saw how the subs struggled to get up to the pace of the game. So I think we should give credit to the starting 11, because look at how I don't think our subs are bad players, but I thought Heaven came on and did well. I thought Ugarte did well in a very few, you know, to solidify the midfield. But I thought Xerxes, Dorgu and Mainoo, all players that I like, really struggled to get up to the pace of the game, which shows you how intense that game obviously was. Goals can change a team, but getting players that are hungry at defence after losing the ball, besides Bruno, says a lot about the players that United have, says Terminate. You know what? It sort of goes under the radar as well. Defensively, we're a good side. We are. I'm talking about We're talking about De Ligt, Yoro, Maguire last week, Shaw last night, Lemens, Mazraoui can't even get a look in at the moment. Like, obviously, I'm very pleased with Ahmad. Left-hand side worries me a little bit. But we're hard to break down. You know, you look at United previously with the likes of Varane and Lindelof and Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire. You always fancied you could get at them. I think with De Ligt, even if he gets pulled out of position, Luke Shaw was there or Yoro was there, then you've got Lemens. We're a harder team to score against at the moment. Whereas I think for the last few years, we've been a very easy team to score against. Like, vulnerable. We're not vulnerable at the back. We're scoring goals up front. I'm not saying the midfield doesn't matter, but, and the midfield did play well yesterday, but if you're strong at the back and you can score goals, you know, maybe that is possible. Because I look at Ollie, I don't think we were ever good under Ollie, but we parked the bus and countered. And we were hard to break down with a low block. And we always had somebody like a Rashford or a Bruno who could score a goal. And, you know, I didn't like Ollie's football, but for a while, people struggled. Good teams struggled. They couldn't break us down. And then we get a goal on the break. And at the moment, people are struggling to score past us and we're scoring goals in a different way. So, you know, to answer the question, can we get top four? 59% of you say yes. If you're saying top five, yes. If you're saying top four, I still would say that would be incredible. For me, top five will get Champions League because I think the English club's doing really well. And I'd be over the moon with fifth place. If we get top four, that's really exciting. It's really exciting because this is such a competitive league. And, you know, Arsenal are probably going to win the league. Man City are the best team we've played. Sunderland won't stay there. Bournemouth, I don't think will stay there. Liverpool, who knows? You think they're going to come back. And Chelsea, I just think Chelsea are vulnerable. So there is an opportunity for fourth. There's certainly an opportunity for fifth. I mean, I wouldn't write off the Newcastles and the Aston Villas. I mean, they're not even on that page at the moment. So it's just really competitive. I mean, Newcastle and Villa aren't even on that page. So it's great where we are, but this league is so exciting. It's so exciting this year. And you know what? The big thing that gets me not emotional, but excited this morning is that we're in the race. It was a competitive league last year, but we weren't in the race. And we're in the race. And that's something to smile about, because listening to some people, we were going to be in the bottom half this season. And we're in the race. After nine games, we're in it. We're in amongst it. If this was a Formula One race, we're right in the race. And we're in control. And there is the potential to, you know, we might have a bit more pace in us to go higher. There's also the potential to get boxed in and people go past us. And I just think that it's exciting. You know, it's actually exciting at the moment. And bloody hell, we deserve it. All of us. Which is why I was saying at the start of the video, how do we get these Amrin Outers back? because I hate seeing Arsenal fans still being Arteta out, waiting for them to lose so they can go, I told you so. That's not really being a fan. That's being a fan, but prioritising being right. I don't want to be right about Man United unless I'm saying we're going to win the treble. I just want Man United to win. I want people in charge of Man United who make decisions to prove me wrong, which is what Sir Alex Ferguson used to do on the regular. I don't want to be right about Man United. I want to be half right and half wrong. And that's how I feel this morning. You know, I think I looked at the team yesterday and I thought we'd win, but I maybe didn't think some people would have a good game, and they did. And Amrim has to take the credit, and the players have to take the credit. And I don't mind seeing them all on Instagram replying to each other's posts today. I don't care. It's not something I'm going to interact with, but I don't care. Because if you win, do what you want. You know, it's reward, isn't it? You know, if Seb plays well at football today, get your iPad out. You can have 10 minutes, you know, for that's your 10 minutes for the week. Now, you can have an hour. But if he plays badly today, it's like get your own work done. You know, it's standards that some people instill. Risk and reward, you know, performance and reward. When they play badly, they deserve criticism. When they play well, go and enjoy yourself on Instagram. It's absolutely fine. And the great thing is that we're in a race here, and anything is possible. I mean, we're not winning the league. I'm so grateful that nobody's spoken about the league. We're not winning the league. That's not going to happen. Under no circumstances are we good enough to win the league. But top four would be like winning the league, really, in a weird way. And that's what we've got to aim for. I think the big thing for United now is, and the only concern, and I don't have any concerns really, but the only concern I would have is that now that we're up there, if we drop again, it almost makes the reaction worse. Now we're there, we've got to stay there. That's the challenge. You know, there's going to be a lot of excitement in the club, in the boardroom, in the dressing room, because of where they are. The hardest thing in this league is to stay there. And staying there will be difficult because there are no easy games. People say we've had a hard start to the season. We've played Burnley and Sunderland, the newly promoted teams. I mean, look at where Sunderland are, to be fair. I think they're the worst team we've played and the second in the league. Leeds isn't the same because that's going to be a massive game. And people say, oh, we've got a good run of games now. What? Forest, Spurs, Everton, Palace, Bournemouth, Villa. They're not, I mean, great to go and win them all, but it's challenging. And that's the challenge now, is to stay there, to keep playing well. It's not the reason why we won the last three, but Sir Jim coming out and backing Amrin would have been huge on the squad mentally. I don't agree, Goat Smoker. I really don't. I really don't. He was never going to get sacked in October. And I don't think Sir Jim Radcliffe saying the manager's here for 3 years is why we've just gone and beaten Liverpool and Brighton. If you do, that's fine. It's all about opinion. But I've never heard such shite in all my life. It might give a little bit of, oh, you know, Amrim's here to stay. But Sir Jim Radcliffe's never going to do an interview saying he's going to get the sack or he's got two games. I think owners of football clubs have very, very, very little impact on players. When you think of what the Glazers have done over the last 20 years, we still won titles when they put the club in debt. So no, I think this comes down to Cunha and Mbeumo, the rest of the team, a little bit of luck, Amrim changing his tactics, and United just being a better team this year. A wing-back on loan is a requirement for the winter, assuming we don't have the funds left for a permanent transfer, says Enchanted Angel. Do you think United strands getting a haircut? I'm not. No comment, Ross. No comment. 10 games till the January transfer window in and around their top four. You've got to recruit, Sahaj. Great point. I want to talk about that on the evening show, actually. Morning, Mark. What would our results have to look like in the run-up to Christmas for you? Daily Hibbert with a £5 super chat said, what do we need to do to get into a title race? That's enough of the internet for me tonight, today. We concede from set pieces, not from open places. Blue. I don't care how we play as long as we win, says Dale. I do care how we play. I don't care how we play at the moment, but I don't want to play long ball and long throw-ins for the rest of the season. I want to play good football. But at the moment, I don't think it's as big a thing. Not vintage Man United, but we played well, says John. Anyone saying the last three games weren't progress is lying. Build confidence and take it into the next one. Thank you very much from John. Okay, have a great morning this morning. I will be back with you on That's Football for the 2 o'clock games. Let's hope it goes our way, because to stay in fourth We need Bournemouth to lose to Forest and City to lose to... City won't matter. And Everton to beat Spurs. So we're Everton and Forest today, and obviously Palace not winning as well. Let's see if we can do it. It's possible. It's possible. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. And let's keep this positivity train rolling. Let's get those Amrim out. Let's turn those Amrim outers into Amrim inners. Take care. Speak to you in a bit.